Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, Thursday, August the 6th, 2026, 8626. First Thursday in the month of August. How about that? 14 minutes past the hour here. Glad to have you along with us for the ride today. Do want to remind everybody we will continue our big Ohio State Fair ticket giveaway. Only 2 days left of this. The show will be giving away tickets today, too. Bailey Zimmerman and Lauren Watkins. Now, this concert will be tomorrow night, August the 7th, at the Ohio State Fair, 7:30 p.m. And then tomorrow, we'll be giving away tickets to Blues Traveler and the Gin Blossoms with special guest Spin, which I think will probably be the best concert of all of these. And that concert will be Saturday night at 7 p.m., so stay tuned today. We'll have Bailey Zimmerman and Lauren Watkins. And apparently he's a very popular country singer. We've had some feedback on this on the Facebook page. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors. We'll be giving away those tickets as time goes along. And I guess he'll be taking a break from touring in the next couple weeks. So this might be one of the last chances you get to see Bailey Zimmerman. Also want to remind everybody, the Captain William Hendricks Chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution, in partnership with the American Battlefield Trust, is pleased to present the American Revolution Experience, a traveling exhibit at the Marion Public Library. The exhibit will be on display Wednesday, August the 5th through Thursday, August the 13th at the Marion Public Library, located at 445 East Church Street. Visitors may view the exhibit during regular library hours, Monday through Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., Thursday and Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The library is closed on Sunday. The American Revolution Experience includes display panels and interactive digital kiosks designed to connect visitors with the people, places, and stories that shaped the birth of our nation. The public is encouraged to attend this free exhibit and take advantage of this opportunity to learn more about the American Revolution as Marion celebrates America 250. So that will be over at the public library from now, from yesterday through next Thursday, August the 13th, 9 to 7, Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 5, Thursday and Friday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., 445 East Church Street in Marion. Okay, well, that's our news and notes for today, our housekeeping. Okay, now there's something, two things I want to say here off the top of the program this morning. Now, number one is we did our interview with Sheriff Matt Bales yesterday. And again, I want to thank Sheriff Bales for coming on the program and talking about flock cameras and also about Monday night's Marion City Council meeting, because he was in attendance there and all that surrounded that particular event. I think the public officials who do come on the program and who do let us know what they think and feel and share the knowledge they have, I think that's very important. Now, you don't have to like what they say, but I think it's good that they do it, because some public officials do not do it. And I think we should give the ones who do it credit. And I want to thank the sheriff for doing that. The sheriff has always done it. I don't ever really remember a time where the sheriff has not responded to something. Other people have not responded to things, and I appreciate that. And I was reminded the other day by a longtime friend in journalism who has been in journalism longer than I have. They're really not any longer in journalism, but they made a point that I thought was very interesting. And it is true, and sometimes you forget it. But all these elected officials, national, state, but particularly local, they're just regular people. They only have those jobs because people put them there in elections. They're just citizens. They put their pants on the same way you do, and they're not to be treated in any sort of special way or given special treatment. Just because you are the county blah blah blah, or you are the city blah blah blah, does not make you immune from rules. It doesn't mean that you should not be treated in a certain way. You should be treated with the same dignity and respect that we treat all human beings. But that's the job you sign up for, and sometimes people are critical of you. But you're not above anything. Nobody is above anything. A lot of times we say that in regard to above the law, but it's not always above the law. You're not above acting like any other normal citizen should be allowed to act. And I think the sheriff made a good case for that yesterday. Now, I think the sheriff said some things that were obviously unpopular with a portion of our audience, but I think the sheriff said what he believed, and I think we have to give him credit for that. And he said it out loud, and he said it in an interview. So, you know, I don't think that somebody should be taken to task because they share their opinion, just like I don't think any regular citizen should be taken to task just because they share their opinion. So, there's that. That's one bit of housekeeping. Now, the other bit of housekeeping is, okay, these press releases that we have on the news report, and Adam does a very good job of getting them up there, and they stay up there a few days, which I think is fine because not everybody listens every day and not everybody hears the news. But I have been hearing these press releases from the prosecutor's office this week. There have been a couple of them on there this week. Now, I'm not saying, you know, write your press releases however you want, whatever you want to do. But we've been down this road before with the prosecutor's office. And as I was listening, because I normally put my headphones in when the news or the weather's playing, depending on how far behind I am that morning, I put my headphones in this morning, and I heard that press release from the prosecutor's office for probably the second or third time this week. Maybe not even the same press release. And something had been bothering me about that, and I had not said anything because I wasn't really sure what was bothering me about that press release. But here's what it is, I think. I think I figured it out this morning. Here's what it is. Now, it's a press release. It's not a newspaper article. It's not a journalist interviewing anybody. It's a press release. It's put out from that particular office because of a verdict. And in that press release, I think the prosecutor is quoted as saying whoever was convicted of whatever they were convicted of, I think it was a rape charge, I believe, should die in prison. Now, first of all, let me say, heinous crime, terrible thing, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that this person should die in prison. I'm not denying that at all, and I'm not saying that the prosecutor can't have that opinion, that somebody should die in prison. I guess what is a little strange to me is that in a press release where nobody's really asking, because it always comes off as if quoting the county prosecutor, this is what they say, the person should die in prison. Okay, well, I understand that, but who was asking? Because normally what would happen is you would put out a press release about what happened, the verdict, and then somebody would ask you about what you thought about that verdict, and you would say. Now, I don't know if that's what's happening here, and so, I don't know, I guess I don't understand that, but, you know, to each their own, that's just my opinion. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, ironically, Scott, you was talking about that press release.
Yes.
You might want to, I don't know if Adam's listening. He said 30 decades. And then later on, he said 30 years. But a decade's 10 years.
Yes, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, but, you know, it has in there, you know, right from the very beginning, 30 decades.
Well,
that was just a misprint, I guess, or Bob when he did it, but...
Yeah, it could have been. I'm not sure whose side that was on. But do you understand what I'm saying about this press release?
About it doesn't come from you guys?
Well, no. I mean, it should come from the prosecutor's office. They would have the information. I guess what I'm confused about is when the quote is thrown in there about the person should die in prison, and again, I'm not saying that they shouldn't if they committed a heinous crime, but who's asking? You know, because what used to be is that you would send out a press release telling what happened in the trial, and then maybe somebody from the paper or the radio or somebody would say, hey, what do you think of that verdict? Then the prosecutor would say, well, I think they should die in prison, or they're an awful person, or so on and so forth. But if it's in a press release, I mean, who asked you?
Well, he probably meant that he's at his age, and with the sentence he got, that he should will probably die in prison.
Right, but I think what he's quoted as saying is that the person should die in prison.
Well,
which,
you know,
again,
he's 50 years old and he got a 30, 40-year sentence. I mean, he probably should die in prison because of his age.
Well, yeah, but I don't think this is an age thing. I think this is based on the crime, the way it reads to me. And again...
Yeah, I don't think he really should be putting his feelings on it, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I'm fine if somebody asks you. I mean, I think you should be allowed to give your opinion. If somebody said, hey, what do you make of that verdict? And you say, well, I think that person should die in prison. That's fine. I guess I'm just saying, do you put that in the press release to make it a little more salacious? I mean, is that the... Because who's asking you... A press release comes from your own office. Who's asking you how you feel about that?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody. So...
He's putting that in there to kind of... You know, he wants the public to... vote for him next time, and, you know.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Is that what it's all about?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's fine, too, I guess, if that's your technique. But it is a little strange, because remember when we had the press releases earlier this year, late last year, when they were very explicit press releases, mentioning
especially about that one with Ayers Ratliff.
Well,
you know, act like, you know, that was a slam dunk case. You know, and he said he didn't have the evidence and it was dismissed. Then they brought it back, you know.
Well, I don't know. You know what? And again, I think there was something in there about the Court of Appeals also may have made this statement. And again, maybe he does agree with that. And I don't have any problem with that. But did somebody ask, I guess, is my question. I don't know. Usually when a court gives an opinion, a lot of times they do, or a judgment, they do give their opinion. But I'm not sure who's asking the prosecutor's opinion. Now, if somebody is, I could be completely wrong here.
Well, he just wants us to be a little more salacious, you know.
Well, did you hear the interview with the sheriff yesterday?
No.
Well, that got him a lot of attention. That drummed up a lot of attention yesterday morning.
Yeah, I wish I would have heard that.
Well, I think... But again, I want to give the sheriff credit for coming on, but essentially, I think the things people had problems with, he did defend the flock cameras, and obviously there's a lot of anger toward those. And also, he's... I'm not going to say he defended the conduct of Grogan Monday night at the council meeting, but he basically said he felt that Grogan was baited, that it was sort of a setup, I guess, is what he said.
Well, whether it's set up or not, you got to keep your cool.
Well, and I think that was what was odd. And when I asked the sheriff if he would advise somebody to act that way, he said, I don't, he wouldn't advise it, but it may have been a special circumstance. These are not quotes. I mean, you'd actually have to listen to the interview, which is on the...
Just a regular person up there, you know, like Naomi or you or something like that, you know, they would have treated them a lot different.
Well, I don't know. See, I can't say that because nothing ever happened. And normal people who are not elected officials have gotten up and said things. I've never seen anybody arrested or shuffled out. So, you know, I can't say that anybody would have been treated any differently. My point this morning is that I think a public official is a regular citizen and should be treated as such. If you're not acting in any capacity, what's the difference between you and the 10 people sitting next to you?
Yeah. And if you're driving drunk, I don't care whether you're the sheriff or the judge or what, you know.
And people have found that out as we've went down the road.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for calling. All right, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. But again, those were just my little observations this morning. Feel however you would like to feel about these things. I'm just here as sort of a observer of what's going on in the time we live in. And it's an interesting time to be an observer, and let me tell you. 740-383-9944. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Do you have Grogan's press release nearby?
I don't.
Okay, the part that I found peculiar about it was, I can't say peculiar, the part that caught my attention was the end of it, when he was talking about how sex abusers come from all walks of life. They, you know, poor, professional. He just kind of listed everything. And then basically people that hurt children is what he said. And then he alluded to frivolous lawsuits. And the only one I can think of would be the Ayers-Ratliff trial. And if you read that last paragraph, I wish I had it, of that release, it's kind of, he's bringing it back to the Ayers situation, because he's talking about all people of all prominence, all walks of life, rape children, and then they file frivolous lawsuits to try to deny it. I mean, that Ratliff's verdict must really still be haunting him. And then Heidi's trial is coming up in October, and I kind of put this together myself. Heidi's trial is coming up in October, and the walls are closing in on Ray Ray. There are no more continuances. There won't be any. The reason why it was continued last time was some health issues amongst the lawyers, judges, the official people, and to reschedule it, you're talking about like 7 attorneys and a visiting judge, so it got postponed until October. But there are no postponements left. Short of someone else having a health issue, there's nothing left, and that trial is coming, and Heidi's going to be found not guilty, and then that civil suit is going to start, and Ray Grogan is going to, and his office, Ray Grogan et al., are going to find themselves defending a very large civil lawsuit soon. I would say by the end of this year.
Well, I think the statement that people from all walks of life commit terrible crimes is not, you know, that's not an abnormal.
Lawsuits, though. I mean, I agree with that. People from all walks of life do commit terrible crimes, and it's often the people we wouldn't expect.
Well, frivolous lawsuits, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
The only person that was accused of rape that filed a lawsuit is Ayers-Ratliff.
Well, like I said, I just, you know, all week, I think those press releases have been on, and I just catch them when I put my headphones on. And that remark about the person should die in prison.
It's on the city's, or on his official Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
Now,
well,
if I read that correctly, or if I read it correctly, the Court of Appeals did, I And Frederick had said something like, you'll never get out of prison again. You're going to spend the rest of your life there. And then the Court of Appeals said something along the lines of they agreed that he should die in prison. But yes, you're right. Ray's press release was like someone in his office was interviewing him, and then they typed it up and slapped it on their Facebook page.
That's what I don't get. Because, I mean, certainly prosecutors and police officers have said things before because media will normally ask. They'll say, how do you feel about that? And the person says, well, I think they should die in prison. I agree with such and such. And there's nothing wrong with that. But
you don't do interviews, Spears. You got to go get somebody in your office to interview you, and then you pretend like you're doing a real interview with the hard-hitting questions, and you put it up on your own Facebook page.
Well, I don't know. I mean, does anybody else do this? I mean, maybe, because I don't want to put all the blame on somebody here, or one person. Do other people do that? I guess I just don't read press releases from other people in which that happens.
No. Typically, the press releases that I see, like from Columbus and stuff, it's more like from that person to the public. You know, does that make sense? Like, my office was part of this case from the beginning to the end, and we agree with the appeals court's decision and thank them for their time and da-da-da. This monster will never be able to harm another child, you know, not like third-person type stuff.
Right. That's what normally happens. And I think the police department and the sheriff's office around here do pretty much the same thing.
Yes.
So I guess that it's just the phraseology of how that's done that I don't...
I think that people that suffer from grandiosity refer and use third person quite a bit. So that might be... That's just my self-diagnosis. Me diagnosing Grogan from... I'm telling you, Scott, something's going on with him, and it's...
Well, I said that Monday.
I would love to watch him spontaneously combust. I can say that. However, I don't. I know the man has a family and stuff. So, like, if he's becoming unhinged, maybe he needs to take a little sabbatical or something. Because he's that. And to Lee's point, and to my own point, normal people don't go to public meetings and act like that. They don't act like they want to fight another resident. So if he's there as a resident, strictly of Ray Grogan, not Ray Grogan, county prosecutor, none of us have ever tried to fight anybody. It seems to be all the elected officials that want to fight us. It's strange. It's so strange.
Well, that's my point that I was making when I talked to a friend who I've known a long time, who's no longer in journalism. But basically, they were making the point that if you're not there in an official capacity, which the sheriff pretty much said yesterday, that he was just there watching it, you're just like everybody else. You're a citizen.
Even if you're there in your official capacity, why do you get to act like you're going to fight people?
Well, but that's the thing. Well, that's the people who were under fire on Monday were Jay McDonald and Sheriff Bales, and I didn't see them lose their cool one time.
No, because they've been in the public eye for a very long time. You know, as police officers, and when the camera's on, you have to behave, and that's my thing. Like with Grogan, and I'm not talking about Marion City Police Department, but these officers that behave so badly on body cam. And I watched a video the other day where it was in a jail, and this guy just started, it was a deputy, and he just started punching this woman in the face and threw her to the ground. And I thought, my God, if these people act like this when they know the camera is rolling, how do they act when the camera's not? So Jay McDonald and Bales knew the camera was rolling. They were in front of people. Now, I've had interactions with both of them in years past, more than a decade ago, when the camera was not rolling and they were not nearly as cordial. But Ray Grogan apparently hasn't learned that lesson, so maybe they need to take him aside and have a little talk. Be like, Ray, you can't act like that in public now, sweetie. People are going to talk and they're going to make videos. And it's going to go on for a week. But no, they didn't. You know, actually, Bales sort of got shitty with Kim Mayer. Kim didn't want to hear his list of whatever he was going to read that he had been reading all night. She wanted a different answer, and his tone totally changed with her. I mean, they do not think twice about talking down to us, cussing at us, threatening to fight us, screaming in our faces. But if we did any of that, I assure you, we would be arrested. Now, the whole time I was fighting the city, they were doing their best to make me look absolutely insane and unhinged during council meetings. I've never done anything compared to what Ray Grogan did Monday night.
Yeah, but I also think he's suffering the consequences. I mean, I think people are aware of what happened. I mean,
the consequences of his own poor decisions? Is that like everybody else has to suffer?
The problem is...
Doesn't the Minister of Justice hand out consequences for poor decisions every day? Isn't that what he does?
Well, I don't know. All I will say is as I said Tuesday morning, after that happened, that's exactly what should not happen at any meeting from anybody.
From anyone.
Right.
From anyone.
Right.
But especially the Minister of Justice for the county. When all of the law enforcement officials are in the room and nothing happens.
Bill,
that proves we are not safe in that building. When you can have all the leaders of law enforcement in there and the county prosecutor can jump your shit and nothing happens, we are not safe in that building. I'm safer walking down an alley on Silver Street than I am in that building.
Well, but did people really feel threatened Monday night?
I'm telling you, Scott, if I'd been anywhere other than a city council meeting, I would have thought that a fight was about to break out. I wouldn't have gotten between two grown men and, like, come on, you guys, let's not do this. Phil, sit down. We're better than this. If I didn't think a fight was going to happen.
Well, I don't know. I can't imagine because, like I said, all I'm saying is from where I was seated during that whole thing, I never saw Ray get to his feet. And
he didn't because Kevin Davidson grabbed him by the shoulder and pushed him back. He was half out of his seat. He was half out of his seat when I turned around to look at him.
Well, I guess I would have to imagine that the sheriff and the police chief who are sitting in the front of the room,
if
they are, then they would certainly have started to make their way back there if they thought a fight was going to break out. And if
they only handled it for them, they didn't have to.
Well, I don't think I don't think they would leave it up to you, to be quite honest.
Well, I handled the situation, and the meeting was able to continue. Davidson handled Ray, and I talked Phil down. I mean, Phil wasn't being ridiculous, but he was also standing his ground, and I was like, come on, Phil, we're not going to win it here, buddy. So, yeah, it was, like you said, it should have never happened, but it definitely should not have happened by the county prosecutor, and you've got Danny Clark up there, and I'm back there yelling, decorum, decorum. You know, of all the people that we've needed decorum for, it's the county prosecutor.
Well, I don't know.
That's the part that just gets me. I don't know why people are minimizing the county prosecutor flipping the out in the middle of a council meeting. But he was supposed to have just been a resident, I guess, and been there. So a resident who happens to be the county prosecutor flips the heck out in the middle of a council meeting twice. And everybody's just like, well, he's just a man and he's got so much pressure on him. It's self-inflicted wounds, right?
Well, if that's true, though, I mean, I'll go along with he's just a man and he's got a lot of pressure on him. I'll go along with that. But what I'm saying is that still would not be normal behavior. And if
I agree, it was absolutely abnormal.
So my point is, I think there's more to that than what happened.
I can sit in a room full of people that hate me. There's a lot of people up there that do not like me, and they do not hide it. Ray Grogan can't get one kind of bristly comment from a member of the public before flipping out.
Yeah, but you know what's sad? The sad thing of it is as I have said, when I met him over 10 years ago now, long before he was county prosecutor, he was an affable guy.
I've heard he was a very likable guy.
Very affable, very easy to deal with. And up until 2 years ago, very easy to deal with the press. Not bad at all. You know, easy person to deal with. But now, you know, I look at comment sections and I look at things like this, and he gets taken to task a lot. And it's sad.
The consequences of his own poor decisions. It is sad when you see people get what they deserve sometimes, but it's what they deserve. And sometimes we get things we don't deserve. But when people are reaping the consequences of their own actions, yes, we can feel sorry for them, but often they've done what they've landed themselves there.
Well, I don't know.
It didn't happen by accident, Scott. And as you said, 2 years ago, something changed. He decided to clam up the town has gone to absolute hell. You know, we're looking at the financial issues now. How many times did the city beg the Minister of Justice to help us with the auditor situation, and he never did anything? So maybe that's
what's the Minister of Justice? Where did that come from?
That's what he calls himself.
He calls himself the Minister of Justice?
Yes.
I've never heard that.
He's the Minister of Justice, yes. I'll have to find some of his press releases where he's referred to himself.
What's the Minister of Justice?
Greg Rogan.
I understand, but what does that term even mean?
It sounds like the Minister of Magic from Harry Potter is what I think of every time I hear it.
Minister of Justice.
Clandestine meetings with rogues and such, you think?
Huh. I've never heard it. I don't know.
I'm going to hang up and find you something. Somebody else call.
All right, thanks. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know anything about Minister of Justice. Maybe I've been living under a rock somewhere. I haven't heard that. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But here we are, 44 minutes past the hour. We've got about 16 minutes left in this particular segment. Let's go to the phone lines here. I can't say phone line this morning for some reason, and see what's going on. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Christian. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I've been stuck on... I've been stuck on the in the Lewis Center part of 23 for about 25 minutes, so it's a typical morning driving to Marion, to say the least.
Listening to this firecracker of a show.
Oh, of course.
By the way, thanks for the letter. I did get it.
Okay, good. I'm glad you got it.
Thank you.
I'm glad you got it. You know, with this postal service now, you really don't know. But I just had this thought come to me. You're talking about really fiery press releases from the prosecutor about sex abuse cases. Was this such a hot button topic in his office before May of 2024? Like, did he parade around? I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't celebrate when a really bad person, when their conviction is upheld or when they go to prison. But was this such a huge, like, was this the only thing his office talked about before May of 2024?
You know, I don't recall it, but I could be wrong. I never heard Minister of Justice. I never heard that one.
Yeah, I mean, this guy must think he's, trying to think something, spearheading civil rights attorney that wants to make sure everyone is treated equally or something.
Well, Christian, I got to ask you, because you were there Monday night. We were sitting in exactly the same place. I don't think I've talked to you about this. I don't think you mentioned this on Tuesday. What was your take on that whole situation?
Scott, nothing surprises me any. Like, I don't think I've been shocked by anything. I think the last thing to surprise me in the news was Joe Biden dropping out in the presidential race. So for the last 2 years, I've been pretty numb when anything that I see with my own eyes. So I've just thought par for the course, which pretty sad if you're the prosecutor and you're at a city council meeting and you're not surprised by what took place. But honestly, I couldn't give you an accurate description as to whether or not he was leaping out of his chair or he wasn't leaping out of his chair. But it was, what was the point of it? What was the point of it? Especially, when he walks in the room at the start of the meeting and you think that he's going to be part of this flock camera panel, which I don't know how much he would have helped, because even though I don't fully agree with what the sheriff and the chief put on, I think they answered questions to the best of their ability, and thus they weren't hurt at all. So I don't know how much Greg Rogan would have helped that if he were on that panel. But if he's not there in an official capacity, he's just there to watch. I mean, if I had done that, then I would have been kicked out. If any of your other callers would have done that, they would have been kicked out. So. You're going to administer justice for everyone else, but follow those rules, like, I don't know, that's what strikes me about it.
You know what bothers me about a lot of this? Because I've talked to a lot of people since this happened on Monday night. Not just the people here on the program. And the only person other than the sheriff who more or less defended... And I didn't even feel... Did you hear the interview with the sheriff yesterday?
No, but that's what I'm going to listen to later this morning once you're off.
Yeah, well, I didn't feel that the sheriff completely defended it. I felt that the sheriff gave his reasoning as to why it happened. But I did not feel that the sheriff defended it. I think those are two different things. But aside from the sheriff, all the people I've talked to since Monday when this happened, this is now Thursday, only one person has tried to give it any kind of a reasoning and defend Ray, and that's somebody who is, I would say, a friend of his. Now, everybody else has, whether they like him or dislike him or are not politically engaged at all, they have not tried to defend that moment. Only one person, and the one person is tangentially a friend of his and involved with the things he does. So that tells me that maybe there's a little bit of a skewed perspective there, but that's it. Everybody else has said, I don't understand that. I don't understand why somebody would do that. And it is strange. I couldn't tell you the last time or if I've ever seen really anything like that. I remember Jason Schauber a few years ago said something pretty pointed at the sheriff, and I think it was during a flock camera thing, if I remember right. But I don't think it was like that, and the sheriff and Schauber were both operating in capacities at that time. It wasn't just, it wasn't directed toward a citizen.
So, I think that's the key thing here that's being partially overlooked is the fact that he wasn't there in any sort of official capacity. Like, if he had been asked a question, I'm sure that, you know, if the sheriff from the panel wanted to pull him in, I'm sure that, you know, Benny's there in some sort of official capacity. But, yeah, when it, you know, it shows some sort, I don't want to say the word entitlement because I think people use that term incorrectly all the time. But it's just some sort of, you know, attitude like I can sort of do whatever I want because I'm used to it, you know, because, you know, I'm the prosecutor. Nothing's going to happen to me. And I think you just sort of see that in the sort of, you know, how his office has behaved in the last couple of years. The things that they've gotten away with so far. So I think it's larger than just one blow up at a council meeting. But I don't know, I'm sure it'll be the big elephant in the room next week. And yeah.
Well, we all like to play armchair psychologist. What would you say, as somebody who's watched a lot of public officials get called a lot of names, what would you say that was about?
Well, I think the citizen, he was, the point he was trying to make that night was that he did not trust Marion law enforcement, which was a story that he told, rightfully so, but the story was how the prosecutor had promised to protect the identity of a whistleblower, and then as soon as that individual blew the whistle on, you know, whatever their circumstance was at their job, with the promise of anonymity, that person walked into work the next day and found themselves fired, in spite of the prosecutor's protection for anonymity. So that's what really set him off, which, when you think about it, that's a pretty small thing to go off about. Like, that's a really small thing to go off about.
Well, so, is it true? Is it true?
Exactly. Like, I mean, I can understand both sides. Like, I can understand being really angry if someone says something that's not true. But also, if, you know, someone's saying something that might be partially true and you're upset that it's come to light, you're also going to get a little defensive. I mean, it might be a lot of pent-up anger, and as Naomi said, a lot of that's self-inflicted. So you really can't feel too bad for the things that have happened to him professionally.
Were you surprised that it can... I mean, the meeting continues, probably for another 20, 30 minutes, and then it continues, this argument.
Yeah, I mean, I thought what surprised me more was the... After that committee meeting ended, whenever it was sort of this big intermission, when they both got up and they both started to mouth off again, and then that's when the most surprising part of the night happened to me, when I don't know if it was the sheriff or the commissioner or whoever, you know, had to put their hands on his shoulder and, you know, not restrain him but keep him back. Was the image. I really wish we had good cameras in that room that panned the entire room, because the image of the county prosecutor being, in essence, held back by, you know, the sheriff and the county commissioner, at least that's what I recall, and someone else might have a different point of view. I just thought that was really interesting, and, you know, it's the first time I think that, you know, he hasn't really been able to get away with something with, you know, exerting power over, you know.
Well, Christian, I think you might have a unique perspective on this, and I want to ask you this, because you've spent a lot of time around politicians. Your grandmother was a politician. You have followed politicians. You've worked for politicians. You're just back from Washington working for a politician in the last week. Do politicians understand that cameras are on, public meetings are going on, and even though you might hate and despise something somebody is saying, that maybe I shouldn't threaten people, maybe I shouldn't have to be restrained by law enforcement?
Well, Scott, it's not even something I've observed or things I've experienced. You know, when I'm answering calls in a very competitive, conservative-leaning congressional office and the member is a Democrat, Scott, us interns, we had a tracker of how many times a week a caller would call us a traitor, not our boss, call us a traitor, and call us all sorts of, you know, stupid, uninformed names that you would only hear from someone that doesn't know what they're talking about. But, you know, if I handled myself way differently than I would if I were on a private phone line, because, you know, these are false, nasty things that are being said about me on a phone line, but I'm working for a member of Congress. You know, I can't blow up back at someone and say, you know, you're not telling the truth, you're full of crap, you're lying. You can't do that. And certainly my boss can't do that. You know, no one on top. The one thing that everyone tells you about Washington before you go to Washington, someone's always recording something. So you have to be, from the moment I would leave my apartment in the morning to the moment I get back, you have to be on, you know, I have to pretend like I'm on your radio show all day. I have to be very, very measured in what I'm saying, and you don't, you know, you can't say anything bad about anybody, because that will come back to hurt you. And the fact that staff members, you know, the fact that 19, 20-year-old staff members, interns on Capitol Hill, are very aware of that point, and the county prosecutor isn't, it's, you know, granted, vastly different environments, but when you run a prosecutor's office and, you know, you're supposed not necessarily remain impartial because your job is to get convictions, but when, you know, when you're in the realm of justice and you call yourself the Minister of Justice, that implies, you know, a sort of, you know, professional temperament, level-headedness, you know, that you don't see from this guy, or you haven't seen from this guy in several years.
Well, we've got 2 minutes left for the hour, and I guess I just want to make this point. As hard as this might be for people to believe, being in the media for as long as I have, there have been politicians. Now, I don't know. Politicians seem to be a little thin-skinned in a way. I can't remember other people who've been upset with me, but there have been politicians who've been upset with coverage that I have done or things that have happened and have said, you know, nasty stuff in my regard. Now, I don't bring it up. I certainly don't start calling them names. I certainly would never, if I saw them in public, have a raised voice conversation with them, because you just don't do it, and you understand it's all about position, it's all about politics, and if this election wasn't going on or this situation wasn't happening, it wouldn't even be a thing, and you just realize that. You don't take that stuff personally.
Absolutely. And when you are, you know, any single case that he files is the state of Ohio versus whoever. You are the attorney for the state of Ohio. And you, anything that anyone says about you, yeah, it might be personally insulting, but you're a politician. You signed up for this. Like, you know, and this is not his first rodeo. I mean, this guy, you know, he's running close elections and he's lost elections. Like, he's a politician. You would think he would know, but
maybe not.
I don't know. It only hurts him, and it only hurts the credibility of his office. Which, just one last thing, when there are real crimes and real victims out there, that only hurts the victims because their advocate, their minister of justice, is compromised by, you know, things that he's done to himself.
Christian, I appreciate it. Drive safe, and I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. All right, we got a break, but we got a whole nother hour coming up. Don't go anywhere.
27 Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name.